Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We're talking about food.
Food.
We're talking about music.
Music.
We're musical dudes.
Dudes.
Finger on the pulse. Snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. Sitting across from me is Greg Bresnitz on this beautiful Sunday. Shout out to Dad, happy birthday. Shout out to the Chernos. Shout out to Jay Strell. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a little bummed. It looks like the band is a no-show today.
Yeah, so that was just Raccoon Fighters, who we
not have, plural, just one.
Sorry, Raccoon Fighter, who we have honored by playing their song, and we will see if they show up.
Yeah, I think the move to Sunday, some bands might be caught up in a maelstrom of hangovers that might not allow them to get out of bed.
I think that's an unfair assessment. All of our other bands have shown so far.
Anyway, but we have two amazing food guests today.
Yeah, first up, we want to welcome back Lee Schreger to Snacky Tunes. Lee, how are you?
I am good, and even with a hangover here.
Lee, we were taking bets. Where in the world are you today?
I literally just landed in New York. I'm in my apartment on the Upper West Side.
Man, I had bets on Vienna or somewhere in Africa.
Nope. With the festival starting this week, I am right here.
Well, Lee, we are super excited, and we're super excited to be part of it again this year. You know, we'll be DJing at Dale's Dim Sum Brunch at Budokan, which is going to be bigger and better. So we're happy that it's kicking off. It's now in its fifth year, if I remember correctly.
You are incorrect. It's in its sixth year.
I apologize. It's in its sixth year.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it's been 6 years. So, so now 6 years later from the start, where are we?
Where are we? That's a good question. Actually, what I can tell you is we are in a brand new venue. After 5 years at Pier 23, I think it was Pier 23, we have moved Midtown, and we have built this humongous culinary complex at Pier 92 and 94 and kind of bringing everything together. So rather than being scattered across the city, all of our signature events, the grand tasting, the culinary demos, the book signings, the burger bash, taco and tequila, Jets and Chefs, and our Sunday Slice Pizza event are all taking place at the culinary compound at Pier 92 and 94 starting this Thursday.
Oh, it's a great story. That's where Armory Show is, right?
That is where the Armory Show is, exactly. And where there's a wedding show going on today.
Great, great space. And then, you know, what was the decision to, I mean, I could tell, say the obvious, but why this year before the years before that you decided to bring it all under one roof?
Well, I think we had to find a space at work, you know, for one. I think we kind of realized last year after our, you know, finishing off a really successful fifth year that we really needed to move to bigger space. We were kind of cramped. We were scattered all over the city, and there's power in numbers. I mean, bringing it all together will ultimately help us raise more money for our two charities. As soon as we figure out how to use the space correctly, right, which hopefully by the end of this year we will. And I think that, you know, rather than setting up four different venues for burger and taco and Sunday slices all over town, you know, we piggyback off of each night, so we're basically able to produce, you know, events in the same venue that will look different and feel different, and you won't even realize you were here last night, but we'll be, you know, working and using a lot of the same things each day.
Which is great. You know, one of the things that we get asked about, I'm sure that, you know, I was actually talking with you, with the people who do food events, is like, you know, how do you serve so many people and provide a good experience? You know, we dabble in both the music and food world, and you know, you can take a lot of people to a concert. They can have okay seats or good sight lines and still have a great time, but food is super personal. What type of lessons have you learned over the years about, you know, making sure everyone gets fed well and keeping the customers happy?
Well, I think we want to keep everyone happy, from sponsors to customers to talent, and I think what we've learned is that we've created a lot of these small dinners and brunches and lunches and seminars for the people who don't want the big events like burger and taco. You know, there are thousands of people who do want them, and then you have people, you know, who want to go to a great dinner with Alex Atala, or people want to go to a Michael White dinner or a Yatam Avalenge. So I think that the consumer going to a 100-person dinner at the Core Club or Bank of America or City Grit may not be that same person waiting online, you know, to try a burger, or they can be. You know, I think the beauty of the New York City Wine and Food Festival is we have that, you know, white tablecloth Michelin-rated chef, and we have that pop culture Food Network Cooking Channel personality at the same time.
I mean, I think one of the most exciting ones is the tailgating with Joe Namath. How did that come about?
You know, actually, we were approached by the Jets. You know, we had no relationship with them, and somebody reached out to me, a guy named Lonnie Sweet, who's an agent who represents Mark Forgione and Michelle Bernstein and Johnny, and, you know, asked us if we had any desire in partnering with the Jets. And after two meetings, we knew that these were people who we wanted, you know, to work with, people who wanted to support the food bank and share our strength, and people who brought a lot to the table. Most importantly, a whole new demographic for us. We've sold almost 3,000 tickets for Jets and Chefs next Saturday afternoon. It will be our only family event of the weekend, and the Jets were really helpful in helping us secure Joe Namath, and Mario's a big Jets fan, so it kind of all came together like things do when they're meant to be.
And let's talk about the charities that you support. You know, how has the relationship evolved over the years? You know, what type of work have you done for them since the inception 6 years ago?
Well, we have two partners, as you know, the Food Bank for New York City and Share Our Strength. You know, two great hunger organizations. New York, the Food Bank, obviously, you know, based here right in New York, and Share Our Strength, one of the most important, if not most important, hunger organizations with their No Kid Hungry program. And I think what we've done, as importantly as raised dollars for them over the years, over $6 million between the two charities over the past 6 years, or actually past 5 years, is the awareness that we bring, introducing the people to the food bank and to Share Our Strength. These are great organizations, and you'll see them branded, and you'll see volunteers for both organizations at every event over the weekend. And I think that Dollars are great, and every charity needs to raise dollars, and it's hard to raise them today. But not only do we raise great dollars for these two charities, but we create a hell of a lot of awareness for them.
That's amazing. And so, and you know, always, you know, it's an evolution for food events. You know, what can people expect this year that's, you know, besides a new space, you know, different or building on past year's successful food events?
Well, we talked about Jets and Chefs. We're doing our Sunday Slices, our pizza event. I've been wanting to do a pizza event since year one. It's just been logistically challenging to find the ovens and then a venue that would support the ovens. And, you know, we're going to be on the roof of Pier 92 this time, exactly this time next week.
Amazing.
On a big 50,000 square foot tent with 25 custom pizza ovens ready to work for 25 great chefs all doing their own take on Neapolitan pizza. So I think between Jets and Chefs, Sunday Slices, these great dinners that we have with the chefs from Yardbird in Hong Kong, the people from, you know, we have Dan Patterson, we have Sean Brock, we have, as I said, Yatam Adelenge and Alex Atala. We have an incredible lineup. I would tell you that it's probably the most exciting lineup of anything that I've done between South Beach and New York when you look at kind of that Michelin chef versus culinary, you know, pop culture chef. You know, we really have the greatest assortment we've ever had. And, you know, I think that just bringing it together under one roof and expanding on these boutique dinners and creating great wine seminars and cocktail experiences seems to all be coming together this week.
And for the pizza event, you know, as we are taping on the back of Roberta's, we have to ask, is it all well-known pizza chefs, or is it some people who are kind of maybe rolling out the dough for the first time and some unexpected people behind the oven?
I don't think anyone's rolling out the dough for the first time. I think if you look at the list that's on our website, you'll see that there are some big names here. I mean, you know, we curated it with Time Out New York. They're the title partner of it. We kind of did a people's choice. We did a lot of social media, and we really gathered the list and listened to people. I don't know that anybody that we invited didn't participate. I think we wanted 20 chefs, and I think we're actually ending up with 28 to 30 chefs in the
wow.
end. 25 of them doing pizza, some of them doing charcuterie, some doing desserts, some just doing flatbreads. But I think if you look at the list, of which I cannot recall because we did it so long ago, but I think you'll see, you know, the names of all the great pizza, you know, in the Manhattan and Queens and Brooklyn, Staten Island. I think from all over the city. You know, we gathered the best together for Sunday Slices.
So I know you mentioned South Beach, which is where, you know, you really got your start in doing the big food festivals. Has the New York Food and Wine Festival grown to the same level as South Beach?
Well, we certainly have the same number of people. You know, what's interesting about New York and South Beach is, you know, we have between 55 and 60,000 people at both of our festivals, ticketed people. In New York, we have 148 events. In South Beach, we have 70. So, clearly that comes down to just size of venues in South Beach. You know, doing something on the beach in the heart of South Beach versus a pier or, you know, a restaurant or a bar or a nightclub here. So it takes us double the amount of space, double the amount of work, double the budget to produce for the same number of people. But it's the same number of people, ultimately, between the two festivals, almost neck and neck.
Amazing. So, look, I know we're on the record, but we're only a few days out. I know you always have some surprises. Can you share anything with us?
You know, I'm sure we do have surprises. I haven't heard about any yet, but you know what? It's the day is not over, and the surprises normally start at midnight tonight when, you know, you'll get that kind of last-minute hysteria. But really, I have to say, to date, I don't want to jinx it. You know, it's really, you know, I don't want to say it's been smooth because this has been anything but easy and smooth with the new venue and all these new events. But I'd have to say, if we can keep just like today and remain this way through the end of the week and the weather stays as perfect as it is today, I'm going to be really happy. So I don't know what their surprise is. You know, normally we hear about some special guests coming at the very last, you know, minute. You know, you'll get a phone call from an agent or a publicist saying so-and-so wants to go to the Jets or so-and-so wants to go to Taco. But I think that, you know, I think the big surprise is I think you'll probably hear about them before I do.
And one last question is that, you know, leading in and leading out, you know, as events people, you know, we always have our rituals. Do you have any certain rituals that you do leading into the festival and then, you know, how you close the festival? Just a little insight into, you know, the master planner.
You know what? I really don't. I have to tell you, I will tell you that I can't even tell you I stay in every night. You know, in South Beach, I don't go out 2 weeks leading up to it. I kind of stay home and chill. You know, here in New York, I really, you know, I'm out every night this week seeing people because I don't live here full time. So between some great talent, some great sponsors coming in, a lot of great partners, you know, I do a lot of entertaining, get caught up on people because once we, hit the ground running on Thursday, it's really hard to kind of pin me down and get to see everyone. So I'll use this week to network and to socialize and get caught up with friends and partners and, you know, just go into it with the attitude that in the end, everything will be all right. And if it's not all right, it's not the end.
And finally, where are you eating this week? I saw you had a little roundup on Twitter, but where are you planning on hitting now that you're back in New York?
I'm going to West this evening, going to go to Ruby Rosa one night, going to go to Michelle Richard's new restaurant, and going to, is it Bethany or Bethany? B-E-T-O-N-Y. I'm eating the Bethany. I'm assuming it's Bethany. It's mint, so Bethany, I'm sure. I'm going there tomorrow evening. I'm going to American Cut also. One night I'm doing two dinners, an early and a late one, and I was at American Cut last week and was really blown away. I think Mark Borgione is doing a great job, and I'm excited about Bethany this week and trying Michelle Richard. I'm a huge fan of his and excited to try his food.
Amazing. If you need anyone to accompany you, Darren and I are totally free this week to drop anything, even if it's just, you know, to take the scraps at the end of dinner.
Well, I will keep that in mind, boys, if I'm looking for a last-minute date.
All right. Well, if you want to, can you give us the nuts and bolts of where people can buy tickets, look for the schedule, et cetera?
Absolutely. Our website is www.nycwff, like New York City Wine and Foods Festival, .org. We still have tickets to some key events. There are, you know, less than a handful of tickets to some scattered dinners. And, you know, at the under $100 ticket price, there's still tickets. So I think that if you take time and explore the website, there's almost something for everyone still left.
Awesome. Well, Lee, always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll get you in person soon. And if not, we'll see you out this weekend at all the events, and hopefully we'll see you at Budokan on Sunday.
I will look forward to it, guys, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Lee. Congratulations, and good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. Save me a slice.
All right. Will do. Will do. All right. Well, we have a very special cocktail guest coming up next, and from Camille, and we got a song. It's an old school one. Thanks to Spotify for pulling this one out of the past. It's Florida's on Fire by Superchunk here on Snacky Tunes.
Don't you know that the dirt's on fire down here?
What's Mood? Mood is a quarterly magazine about music and food. For its creators, not many things can beat a good record and a delicious meal. Maybe a well-written story or a gorgeous photo. Well, that's all in Mood. The magazine looks at music and food in a cohesive and unique way, with a keen eye to design and high-quality writing. Its contributors are located around the globe, and the stories span accordingly. Check it out today at moodmusicfood.com. That's moodmusicfood.com.
Oh, man. Food music.
How do all these... I still can't figure out how all these magazines like are coming out. Like Serial, Modern Farmer, Mood. And I'm pumped that they're coming out. But like, I want to know, like, how do they crack the code of like becoming like a print magazine in 2013?
Wait, can I just shout out to Mom? Who made a comment about all the people who have been ripping us off of the food and music tip since we got started a few years ago. Hilarious.
Yeah, keep going.
Nothing. All okay. Right. So, Camille Austin, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, speaking to the mic.
Thank you for having me.
Bar manager, mixologist, Haksan, New York.
And we just realized that we have a mutual friend, Tanika.
Shout out Tanika.
Tanika's the best.
Where's Tanika on a Sunday?
She's, last I heard from her, she was heading out to Burning Man, and I haven't heard from her since, so I hope she's okay.
Oh. I mean, that could be the last text you ever get someone and be like, I understand that would happen. So before we get to your current state of being and employment, how did you get your start? Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Cancun. That was a lot of fun.
Come on.
It's true.
So where did you go for spring break?
Well, I went to the Oasis, you know, when they used to have back in the day in the 90s, those big parties. I was in a few of those, and I got in a lot of trouble with my dad. I'm the oldest of three sisters, so I have a lot of fun stories to tell about
that. Can you give us one? Give us one story. We got time, it's Sunday.
I don't think that's appropriate for radio, though.
Oh, really? Like too much
well,
fun?
Well, it's internet
it
radio.
Too much fun. It
so
was
it's totally
too,
fun.
Too much fun.
All right, so
tell half a story.
I can't. You guys are putting me on the spot,
okay,
man.
Okay, sorry. Fine. Sorry.
It's the hard-hitting question. Okay, so you grew up in Cancun. When did you start getting the itch?
So I actually moved to Miami when I was 20 years old. We had a really bad hurricane in Cancun, and I started working in bars and restaurants, and I just really automatically just fell in love with food, the service industry, and all that good stuff. And I started kind of moving more towards the bar, learning a little bit more about cocktails. And then I got a job with Haksan, you know, that was opening up its first U.S. location in 2009 in the Fontainebleau.
Oh, okay. So what was the cocktail scene in Miami like in 2009? Or just in general? I mean, obviously we just had Leon Schrager, who's helped grow the Miami food scene. And I can say for a fact that the food scene now in Miami is on par with any decent-sized city. But it's had some struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
A lot of cheese, right?
A lot of cheese, a lot of Cuban sandwiches. I mean, it's amazing.
Can I ask where you can get an actual good Cuban sandwich? Because to this day, everyone's like, oh, I got a place. And I've never had one of those, like, ethereal, gut-defying, mind-blowing moments with a Cuban sandwich.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of places that I really like to go for my little Cafe Cubano on South Beach. But if you really want the authentic thing, you have to go to Calle Ocho. Calle Ocho is the spot.
Okay, where is that?
That is in the middle of Miami. It kind of runs through Little Havana. And, you know, it's a really big Cuban neighborhood. And it's been around for a lot longer. Those are more the traditional little holes in the walls where you can get really good sandwiches.
Right.
And there's one place that I went when I was there last time. It was a place on 7th and Collins that was actually also really good. That just, like, when I was out there for an event, it was in everyone's, like, Instagram feed. I have no idea what the name
yes,
is.
Yes. One of my favorites, Puerto Sagua. That's
yes.
actually the one of the two that I was thinking of.
Okay,
when
great.
When I said South Beach, for sure.
Okay. Phew.
Yes. Okay. Good job. Well done.
Thank you.
So you're at Fontainebleau. You're spending a lot of time poolside. That pool there is awesome.
I know. It's so awesome. I wish I got to spend more time at the pool, but, you know, work was calling.
So do you have two different menus? Is there, like, a pool menu and, like, a bar menu, or is it all just the same?
Yeah, at the Fontainebleau, there's actually several F&B outlets. They have, you know, some amazing restaurants from amazing chefs there. They have Scott Cohn and Scarpetta. They have Gotham Grill, Hakkasan, of course. They have Blue Bar, and then Le Cote, which was the poolside lounge, which had really great kind of tiki-style cocktails as well.
Did you enjoy any one of the menus or the other, or really, you love them all the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think I really liked Le Cote just because it was a lot of fun, and I always worked for Hakkasan there, so when I went to visit, it was during the day, and I got to be beachside, and it was, you know, really relaxing.
And did you have different, like, shaking styles depending on the outlet? You know, like, one was, like, a little bit more over the top, one was a little bit more restrained?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The shaking style is very characteristic, I think, to the leader who is managing that bar. You'll train your bar team. I know that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I try to be as consistent as possible with the bar team, so that we're kind of on the same page with techniques and stuff. But it's always fun to go out to bars and see what different people do.
Wait, what's your favorite move? What's your favorite shake?
Oh, well, I really like the London style techniques. So I like the precision. I like to keep it kind of, you know, inside close to me here, and do it really kind of smooth. Just nothing too crazy.
First, listeners, it's almost like inside up at the shoulder length is where she went
exactly.
to. Think. Well, no, I mean, we...
it looks like you're cocking a shotgun.
Well, no, it's... I work for the Ace Hotel, and we're opening a number of different F&B outlets inside our London property. And one of the conversations that came up was shaking style, how loud, how soft, you know, what it was. And I had always attributed shaking style actually to the personal bartender. I didn't actually know it was the direction of an F&B outlet or a restaurant.
I think it has a little bit to do with both. I really like your point as well. So, yeah, I think that's a good...
Like, I would... Like, if I went to a bar, I would never think, like, oh, that's the shaking style of the restaurant. I was like, that's how that person or that bartender does it. But the first time I was like, oh, like, maybe it is like, oh, we do it quiet here. Or it's like a moment every time that someone orders something that's shaken. It's like a big, loud thing that happens.
Right. I think that, you know, the influence of who you learned from has a great deal to do in the way that you do things. So,
interesting. So you're in Miami.
Yeah.
Bienvenidos.
Yes. Bienvenidos a Miami.
No. Bienvenidos a la Nueva York.
A Nueva York.
How did you go north? What brought you up?
Oh my gosh. So I've always been an adventurous girl. So I knew straight off that I wanted at some point to live in New York because I just started coming here on weekends and for events. And then I came a couple years before for Manhattan Cocktail Classic. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to be in New York for at least a year living there until before I'm 30. And it worked perfectly because we were opening Hakkasan New York. And I was like, I'm going. That's it. And I applied for the job.
So that's just like that?
That's how it happened.
Just like that. So what was it like? I mean, did you enjoy leaving the warm, beautiful weather of Miami to the, you know, the yes. Have you spent a winter here yet?
Yes, I have.
And?
I've been here for 2 years.
Okay.
I absolutely love New York now, but for about the first year, and everybody told me this, that it was going to be really hard, I moved to Brooklyn. So I lived in Brooklyn. For those of you who don't know, we are located out in Midtown West, so it's a pretty far commute. And I moved straight in the middle of winter. I moved in January, so
you really just went for it.
Yeah,
you like ripped that Band-Aid off.
I was like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah,
and
I got
then
this.
then I was scared when I was here, but it was fun.
I remember the first boots I lived in Oregon. I remember the first pair of boots that I bought when I went to New York, and I was like, these will get me through. And they were the worst potential boots possible for this, and I was like, I really don't understand what I've done to myself. I finally broke down after getting a dog because I used to do the layers thing, and now I have just one big coat that is ridiculous looking, but I don't care. Like, it doesn't. It's like a horse blocker for the eyes and the.
But you're making a statement. You're making an artistic statement. That's cool.
So now you're at Hakkasan up in New York,
mm-hmm.
And what's it like? I mean, it's a hot. It's hot. It's a big old bar. It's a big old. It's up there on the lists.
Oh man, it's a huge bar. It is almost 60 feet long. We have about 370 spirits. It's really amazing.
Can you just list them? We got time. Just list them.
List them. Just list them. Well, some of my favorites. I'm very, you know, keen to tequilas and mezcals.
Okay.
So we carry, actually, I'm going to make a cocktail for you guys later with mezcal. Yes. But one of my favorites is Ilegal mezcal. I really like the Montelobos as well. What else? What do you drink?
Whiskey.
Whiskey. We have plenty of that.
So the thing that I discovered this year that kind of changed my thoughts on whiskey was Redbreast 12.
Mm-hmm.
Redbreast 12 is great.
We carry it.
And then also found Redbreast 15.
Redbreast
15.
Glenlivet.
That's but true. Also, Redbreast 12 cask strength.
Yeah.
Which is like drinking a glass of hot water.
Yeah.
Which is too, it's like insane.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like drinking insanity, which is how I actually feel about mezcal.
Yeah.
Which is like drinking, it's like drinking a sweater and then drinking like a cup of crazy.
You sound crazy right now.
Yeah, because that's how mezcal
drinking
is.
Drinking a sweater?
Yeah, that's how, I don't know how to say it. Like, feels like you're putting on like an extra layer when you drink mezcal.
Yeah, I agree. Mezcal makes me happy though.
All right, how about this? We're going to take a pause. We're going to shake up some drinks. What are you going to make for us?
So I'm going to start, actually, so we keep it on the theme of mezcal, with the Bird's Eye Margarita. It has Bird's Eye chili-infused mezcal, some dry curacao, Creole bitters, pineapple, and lime juice.
I love that we moved the show to Sundays. We recently just moved from Sundays from Mondays to Sunday. Monday, we'd have cocktail people on or one people, and they'd have a drink. And I was like, well, you know, I got to go back to work. Now it's like, yeah, you got two?
You just keep it rolling. Well, you just keep the hangover
rolling. Who's driving home?
Joe is.
Joe, our dog. All right, so we need a long track, and we need something that's getting us ready for CMJ as it's impending this week. So I'm putting on a song of a band that I fell in love with during CMJ. It's Los Campesinos, You Me Dancing from Hold On Now, Youngster in 2008. Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network. Here we go.
I can't dance a single step. with you, but I don't think right now you care about anything at all. And if only there were clothes on the floor, I feel for certain I was bedroom dancing. And it's all flailing limbs at the front line. Every single one of us is twisted by design, and dispatches from the back of my mind says so long as we're here, everything is alright. If there's one thing I could never confess, is that I can't dance a single step.
Still gets me.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a real jam. I remember playing it at the day party for Brooklyn Vegan when we were DJing years ago at Pianos, if that doesn't date me too much. Well, let's see. We got two drinks in front of us that Camille have mixed up. Here, cheers. Sunday.
Cheers. Happy
Wait,
Sunday.
Where's your glass?
I have one right here.
Oh.
This is, no. This is mine.
Here, cheers. Chin chin. You gotta lean a little. You gotta lean.
Cheers.
All right, which one is this?
So right now you're actually drinking our Calamansi Julep.
Oh.
Yes.
Shotgun not driving.
Double treat, you guys, because you said whiskey and mezcal. So right now you're enjoying our Calamansi Julep that has fresh mint, has a little bit of Buffalo Trace bourbon, which is amazing. It's aged, distilled, and bottled in Kentucky. And then you have some Calamansi puree, some velvet falernum liqueur, and honey.
How do you...
I know you're asking what I'm going to ask.
I know what you're going to ask.
How do you come up with this?
Yes, that's my question.
Twins.
Twins interviews. And let me take one further step. Questions. Like, because there are so many cocktail bars in the world right now, and there's so many people who are like working with, you know, similar-esque spirits. How do you keep it fresh and interesting and... You know, how, and also on the second part, there's like, how does a drink slip into the menu and not just become like a drink of the week? Or
I want to add another part. How do you make a drink that isn't just like, oh, we put all these eight ingredients together and it's different, you know?
Right.
A lot of layers.
Right, like absolutely. Man, you guys are blowing me up right now with questions.
Yeah.
I like
but we
it.
Can't ask you about Cancun youth, so
I know I can't I cannot answer any of those Cancun questions.
G-Unit. Just to let you know, we got a tease during the interlude, and there's yes, we cannot ask you questions on that.
But so my to answer your question right now about the menu, my key philosophy is that I work with my team to put together the menu. Not all of the cocktails on the menu are just mine. They are all of ours, and I believe that many great minds, you know, make a great product together. So this cocktail was actually created by our head bartender, Debbie. She's Filipino-American, so that's where the Calamansi influence comes in.
It's big, bold flavors.
Yeah.
Just like
what
Debbie.
Do you think?
Just great. Like Debbie. It's great. I want to meet Debbie.
Well, wait till you meet her. You have to come and visit her at
here's,
the bar.
Here's my question. I got a question.
Wait, we still haven't even answered the first four that we point to all her.
Right. Well, I'm just going to put a pause on that. Can you tell a lot about a person by the cocktails they develop?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's kind of like the clothes that they wear, yeah. The way they do their hair. I totally think that you can.
You got some great hair going on. You
thank
can't see. You got a nice like front poof on. Little poof.
Not even a little poof. That's a solid
it's
poof.
A big poof.
This is great. I mean, I personally hate most cocktails, and I hate sweet cocktails. This is nice, and
you'll drink them. I hate them.
No, not even. I mean, I'll get through like half of one. I would just rather have something on the rocks. I'd rather have Spirit Forward.
Spirit Forward. Ugh. Do you work in B&E?
B&E.
Beverage and Entertainment?
No, I just like to drink.
So let's go back to our original questions. So you have a great team. And then
really
how
do.
Does something go from being like, we're going to try this out to being a staple? And
right.
How many staples do you have?
Well, so we have our full menu is comprised of 24 cocktails in total. We do 8 cocktails on each page, 3 pages, because we go with the philosophy of the number 8. 8 is a lucky number in Chinese culture, so we kind of, you know, played off that whole feng shui thing. And what we do when we're going to change our menu, we change it twice a year, by the way, is that I send out a list of guidelines. I'm like, guys, for the fall-winter season, we need to use these types of spirits. We have a lot of this liqueur. This ingredient is really great to get seasonally right now. So come up with your ideas. We'll meet in 2 weeks, and we'll all have a meeting to perfect them.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
I mean,
ooh, what are those meetings? Yeah. Does it get a little heated towards the end?
Gets a little bit heated, but it's all in good fun. We get to taste a lot of stuff. Some come out too sweet. Some come out, you know, a little bit off balance. Some come out great. And then we'll all give each other our feedback to, you know.
Has anyone cried?
Nobody's cried yet.
Flustered.
But like, that sounds like fun.
Like, oh, so this is your drink. Talk to me about what you're thinking when you put this in front of me.
6 months working on this. That's interesting.
No, it's all about the way that you tell, you say things to people, you know? You know what? I think this is a great idea, but I can suggest maybe tweaking this a little bit and you don't make them feel so bad.
No okay. One wants to drink a cup of chartreuse, Daniel.
Okay.
Chartreuse is delicious. Why not?
So let's talk about the positive. What was the last drink you remember, or even the first drink you remember, where you took one sip and you go, this is a staple? Like, just like that. And shout out that person. Give props. Give
the
props
positive.
To the team.
So, okay. All right. So I actually, yes, one did come into my mind. We actually had an amazing bartender named John. He works at Extra Fancy here in Brooklyn now.
Oh, what up, yeah. Extra Fancy?
Shout out Extra Fancy.
Let me get 12 oysters.
So yeah, he works at Extra Fancy now, but he was super, super creative, and he made us his twist on a dark and stormy with a little Asian influence, and we used hum liqueur. So hum has kefir, lime, cardamom, and ginger as their, you know, predominant botanicals, and it's made in Chicago, which I really like, so it's a domestic thing.
Shout out America.
Yeah, it was a really nice, beautiful 3-layer dark and stormy, and that's one of them where the first time I tasted, I was like, wow, this is a really good drink.
And so do you ever bring anything back when it switches from like one season to the next?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like this Calamansi julep, we're going to keep it on for the fall. We'll probably take it off for the winter to go along with the Calamansi season, but I definitely want to bring it back for the next season.
And now what is this other one?
Oh, yeah. But you know what, though? Look, I know this is in like your classic julep cup. However, I do like the fancy cocktail in the paper cup.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I know that you can never get away with certain things at a bar, but...
Well, you weren't supposed to tell everybody. That was just a little improv.
I think it's like two different... Oh,
I'm sorry. I don't think you realize this is... It's real here.
Yeah.
We get real at Snacky Tunes. We're truth tellers.
All right. So what's this? This is the mezcal?
So if you were to come to Hakkasan to have this cocktail, this is our Bird's Eye Margarita. It would be served in a beautiful bespoke coupe glass.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The bird's eye for chili?
Yeah, bird's eye for chili. I told you it was spicy. This is one of my absolute favorite cocktails on the menu.
Cancun in the mix.
We made it, absolutely. This is Mexico representing.
Oh my gosh.
We made it for our opening, and it will always remain on the menu, and it is in every location, every other location in the U.S. as well.
So that's
really... it was a joint effort between the former beverage director and myself. We worked on it for a few days to get the right balance. It's amazing. It's delicious. I know you like it.
It is. It is. It is insane. I kind of want to run out and give Joe a sip. Hold on.
Yeah. Muy caliente. So when you're mixing up, when things are in the mix, Friday night, Saturday night, what music's going on at Hakkasan?
Oh, my gosh. I love our music. We have some awesome DJs that play for us. And it starts off at the beginning of the evening kind of loungy. Then it'll get a little bit louder, a little bit dancier, and then we kind of do like this really deep house vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're creating cocktails, what do you listen to? Like when you're in the private of your own bar, and like what inspires you?
Well, I'm really big on music, but I think kind of when I'm at the bar by myself, I like to pop on my playlists. I love like Depeche Mode and all that good stuff. So I like a little bit of that electro pop.
Amazing. Joe is a big fan. The thing is knocking back hard. Pretty amazing. Yes.
So I got to tell everybody what's in it really quick.
Okay.
So they can make it at home. We do the Ilegal Mezcal. It's a Joven Mezcal, really lovely. And we infuse it with bird's eye chilies. Then we have a little bit of dry Curacao, Pierre Ferrand. We do some lime juice, some pineapple juice, and to top it off, some Creole bitters.
It's really good. Do you guys make your own bitters?
We don't make our own bitters at Hakkasan, New York, but that's one of the little surprises that we are playing around with for the next menu.
Oh!
You're giving away all my secrets, man.
Is that what you got coming up?
That's one of the little teasers that we have coming up, yes.
So as we head into the holiday season... What do you recommend for like a good cocktail? Obviously, people are always looking for something like at-home parties, entertaining, things like that. Like, what do you think people recommend? Like, what do you love to see at holiday parties?
I mean, to be honest, I really think that a Negroni is like sure bet.
But isn't that a summer drink? Am I wrong?
Not necessarily.
Has it just become so popular that it's timeless?
Yeah, I really think that it's I think that it's seasonless, timeless. I mean, all you need is three ingredients as long as they're quality. You build them in a jigger, equal parts, stir them for the right amount of time, and you can have an amazing at-home cocktail that's simple to make.
What do you love for the holidays? What do you love? Like, do you get into the whole, like, pumpkin, nutmeg, spicy, milky?
Yeah, I'm big on spice, as you could tell by your margarita.
Yeah, I mean, going back, yeah.
Holy shit.
I hope that's lingering there.
It is lingering.
That spice.
It's I took one sip whenever I first started talking about it. Still there. Going back.
Awesome. I love dark spirits. You know, other than whiskey, I really love dark rum. Tequilas, reposados, añejos, mezcals, and all that stuff. And I love ginger is my favorite thing in a cocktail.
Really?
Ginger is delicious.
I guess that's sort of just like rum and ginger is like a dark and stormy, right?
Yeah. I mean,
do you do like fresh ginger?
Yeah, we make fresh ginger juice.
Spicy.
And I think that it's like the perfect ingredient that just takes, you know, it makes a cocktail taste good.
I'm sorry. That margarita is lighting me up.
Good.
I'm not great with spices.
Good. I think it's the mezcal that's lighting you up right now.
It's like drinking a sweater. I mean, come on. Anyway, no,
I know your sweater collection. Which one is it like drinking?
It's like a 90s sweater. That's
oh
like,
my God.
Anyway. I want to thank you for joining us on the show. When can people find you behind the bar? When can they get like a little personal touch from you mixing a cocktail?
I want to just, before you answer that, what is the best time if you're like in love with a bartender or do you want to spend time with them? When is the best time to go and like see them on their shift?
See them on their shift. I would say towards the start or towards the end of their shift.
Okay.
In the middle, it's going to be a little bit difficult to get a word in. With Debbie, I know you want to see her.
Yeah. I do want to see her. Can I ask you, how many regulars' drinks do you know from memory?
Quite a few. I mean, I'm not as good with names as I am with
names,
faces.
But names you may never get in a bar.
Yeah.
names. We've known people for years in bars, and like, oh, there's Curly Hair, but I know he likes deep house music. So, but how many people just drinks do you know?
Yeah, I mean, quite a few. I try my best to remember what people drink. It makes them feel special when they come back. And I feel the same way when I go to a friend's bar. And then when I go back, I love to have my regular drink. So,
where are you drinking these days?
Oh, my gosh. So many bars to name. I'm a big fan of EO in the West Village. Yeah.
They're still on. I mean, after all these years, they're still.
It is incredible. They have understood to a T a formula that, you know, is just really rare.
Their prohibition parties are legendary.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been to a few?
I've been to one or two.
I feel like we've been in the same room at the time. We used to roll with.
Did you bring a Cancun?
Jordana Rothman used to take us all the time.
Oh, really?
Did you bring a Cancun spirit to their prohibition parties?
I didn't, but maybe I should have brought one of those foam parties.
Oh my God! Where else? So where else at EO? What's the new? What's your new hotspot?
My new hotspot. I really love the Dead Rabbit. I really like what they're doing around there.
Perfect room, by the way.
Yeah, beautiful room. I mean, they really took their time with the details. So,
and they deserved all
them.
The Taylor Cocktail Awards. I think they went 3 for 3 this year.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Shout out to Hannah Lee as well.
Yeah, Hannah Lee's doing amazing stuff.
I love Hannah.
Yeah, me too.
Her husband and I, we went to when they did their like brunch celebration. Her husband and I went, or I guess fiance went deep on some like. Politics.
Oh, yikes.
Paula Deen type of conversation, which I never go on, but you know, it's funny. Like, you show up there for brunch, you have a couple of those punches and then a couple of stouts, and you go, let me tell you what I think about the government. That's where we go. Yeah. What else? I love Pouring Ribbons.
Pouring Ribbons is an amazing bar, as is, you know, what other place did I go to the other day? Oh, American Cut in Tribeca. Have you been there yet?
I have not.
The guys Mark Forgione.
Lee was just talking about that.
Hey, I was there last night, and I sat at the bar for 5 hours. I don't eat meat.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry to break your heart.
The steakhouse?
But you don't understand. I had a feast out of sides of vegetables. It was so amazing.
Darren, American Cut.
I don't know. It's not an ab bar.
No, it's not an ab bar.
I mean, they're doing crazy stuff with the cocktails. They're split peas and just, I mean,
split pea cocktails?
Amazing. Yeah. Please, you have to go.
I can't remember the last time I spent 5 hours anywhere, by the way.
Delicious. Well, it was a good time.
Look at you. Little blush. Saturday night. You know, I think we're going to have to trade numbers and hang out at some point.
Uh-oh. Are you ready for the mezcal?
Maybe. All right, so... Even without a band, we've reached the end of another hour.
Yeah, thank you for joining
us.
You guys were great.
And again, where can people find you? What time? Early and late in the shift. Don't come in the middle.
Yeah, so we actually open for dinner service at 5:30 every evening, 7 days a week.
Address?
We're located on 43rd and 8th in Midtown West, so beautiful. 311 West 43rd Street. And, you know, on the weekends, we are open until around 1 a.m., and, yeah, I think that the best time to come and visit us and see what we're doing at the bar is around earlier in the evening to get a word in.
So, like, 5 Friday?
Yeah, 5:30, you know.
This seems like a good place to do end-of-week happy hour.
Yeah, it is.
You got a good crowd for that?
During the week, we have a really good crowd starting early.
You have bar snacks?
We have small eats at the bar.
No, I mean, like, peanuts and things like that?
I can get you some peanuts if that's what you really want.
That's not what I want.
That's not what I want. But I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe a little snack.
And then what are the nuts and bolts where people can find website, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera?
So our Twitter is at HakkasanNY.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that our Instagram is just getting up and started, but our Facebook page is Hakkasan New York, HakkasaN. And then for reservations, it's reservations at hakkasanyc.com.
But we can just write you directly if you want to come.
Yeah, just shoot me a text. We'll hook you up.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the episode.
Thanks to Lee. We'll see you this week. Raccoon Fighter, be safe wherever you are.
Yeah.
I hope, I'll put it this way.
I hope that guy wasn't their tour manager.
Oh, my God. For those who could not see, obviously, we had our very first straggler.
Yeah.
Come in, very drunkenly sit down and shake his head. Long hair. Long hair, don't care.
Yeah.
So if you hear some awkwardness from about 10 minutes before this, that's because someone walked in. For a second, I thought he was with the band.
I did too.
I was like,
he actually took a sip of my drink when I went out there, and I thought it was Joe's friend. So I will not be finishing this drink, unfortunately, because I do not know who the stranger is.
Oh, that means you get to drive home. Sundays.
Sundays.
Whole new world.
What are you going to take us out with?
Well, I'm trying to think. Oh, we're off next week because it's New York Food and Wine and CMJ, a.k.a. leading into Halloween week, a.k.a. the end of October run, a.k.a. everyone shaking their head.
I have bands booked for you next week.
Show's not happening.
Okay.
Good talk.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Yep.
And if you want to catch us out DJing, Matt Royale will be filling in for DJ Never Forget once again at the Budokan, Dale's Dim Sum, from 2 to 4 p.m. Get your tickets now. I think this is the Chaim track that you want me to play. It's called Let Me Go.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Love you, Mom and Dad. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Get me a hint, give me a hint. I gave you everything I could give. You tried to take it, tried to make it, but take all everything you can't break. If you go so easily, go on, get out when you leave. I will wait, I will won't wait till the day you're back again. Let me out, let me in. I've given up, not given in. Cause together we are not one, we are nothing. We're holding on and on. Together now, forever then. Go ahead, don't you let me in. But I will wait, I will won't wait till the day you're back again. Let me go. You know I'm not one for leaving. Let me go. You know I'm nothing without your love. No, I know I'm nothing without your love. So let me go.
Let me go.
You know I'm not one for leaving. Let me go. You know I'm nothing without your love. No, I know I'm nothing without your love. So please, God, let me go.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.